So guys, I think for time's sake, we're going to take a little bit smaller portion of the Word of God. So I'm going to be reading from where I'm going to go here. Instead of 6 through the end of the chapter, we're going to go through 6 through 10, because it's a good break there. But let's stand for the reading of the Word. 1 Samuel 22, starting in verse 6. Now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered, and Saul, spear in hand, was seated under the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, with all his officials standing around him. Saul said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against me? No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie in wait for me as he does today. But Doeg the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, at Nob. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine." Please be seated. So guys, we've been looking at Saul for a long time, haven't we? He's been on the run. We started with him. Remember, Saul had been throwing spears at him, and then Saul threw a spear at his own son, Jonathan, and David's been on the run. And he's been on the run for a very long time. He's the future king, David is. But he's on the run from the present king. And he's gone from Nob to Gath to the cave of Adullam to Moab. And then he went to a stronghold, and now he's in the forest of Hereth. And he's with, remember, 400 men and his family. And he's there, and something that hasn't happened yet has taken place. David's position, where he's at, where these 400 people are at, where his family's with him, they've been found out. They've been found out. And it's been reported back to King Saul. And I think the question is, as we see this in verse 6, now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered. The question is, what's Saul going to do? Remember, Saul has been so angry at David, angry enough to throw spears at him, angry enough to try and chase him down, angry enough to send people to kill him and send more. And when they kept failing, he went himself. And God has protected David and protected David and protected David. What is Saul going to do now? Now that he finds out where David is. And Saul was seated, spear in hand, under the tamarisk tree on the hill of Gibeah, with his officials standing at his side. What does Saul still have in his hand? Okay, a mad king walking around with a spear is not a good thing. Guys, one of the things that we need to be so aware of is that when we aren't doing well emotionally, we need to not be walking around with spears in hand. When things aren't going well and we're upset, there's times, you know, my wife Julie isn't here today. She's home with Tessa, who's been, I was up all night cleaning up. Tessa was sick and having trouble with her stomach, and it was a long night. Let me tell you, I'm a little tired. But there's times where when I'm tired, especially when I'm tired, where I can come home and I'm on edge. And it doesn't take much for Julie to experience my wrath, because it has nothing to do with what's going on with her, what's gone on between the two of us. But at times I'm just tired and I'm ornery and I'm in the flesh and I sin. As when we're struggling, the things that Julie and I have learned over the years, there's times where we need to say, "Hun, can I come back to you in a minute? Because right now my heart is not right." You been there? I need a parent time out, a husband time out. I need a time out, honey. I need a moment to gather my thoughts, because right now, if I speak, I'm going to be a little nasty. And I can feel it coming. And so, guys, we need to know that we can't be walking around with a spear in hand. And it requires us to stop and breathe and pray. And God, right now I'm so focused on my own struggles. I'm so focused on my own self of being tired. And I'm self-absorbed right now, God. Let me get my eyes off of myself. I'm coming home. I'm the head of this home. Let me act like it. Let me come and be the captain of the ship right now. Let me come and, you know, I was Captain Crunch all week. Let me be a little bit more of the captain, man. You know, let me bring that. You guys think it's not just because I'm a pastor that's a position. We all struggle with the same things. We all struggle with the same things. Saul here is also amazing. And Saul was seated spear in hand under the tamarisk tree on the hill of Gibeah, with all his officials standing at his side. You know what he is? He's got the appearance of security. He's got the appearance of, he's got everything a leader would need. He's got his kingdom. He's got his people. He's got the fresh air. He's got, what else does he need? But he's so maddened by bitterness and anger, he can't see straight. He can't think. He didn't need to hide in a cave. He didn't need to beg for a weapon from a priest like we talked about last week when David begged the priest for Goliath's sword. He didn't need to have the downtrodden as his company. Remember the 400 that have joined David and his family? They're those. It says in 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, it says this. This is from last week. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household, the family, heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress, were in debt, or discontented, gathered around him. So you've got this group of people that's around David that they're distressed, they're discouraged. They've got nowhere else to go. For one reason or another, they don't feel safe and secure around King Saul. They have needs. Guys, remember, David is a picture of who? Jesus, of the Christ. He's a picture of the one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come. And those who are struggling, those who are down, they come home to Christ the King. They, just like this group has come to David. And we need to be aware of what's going on. Let me ask you this. If you saw these two men, David, going from place to place, always on the run, always, you know, never having enough and always being in need, and then the king who has it all, but who's maddened by his anger and his bitterness. Let me ask you this. Who would you rather be with? You see, one of the things that the world doesn't understand is it's not about how well off we are in this world today. It's not about what we have physically. Life is much greater than the experiences that we're having of the moment. We can be in the worst of situations and be whole mentally. We can be struggling in ways physically and emotionally and still be whole in Christ Jesus. And some people who have so much and are so blessed, if they don't have the Lord, that's the one that we need to say, my heart breaks for them. But they have so much, they don't have any needs. Yeah, but they don't have Jesus. And so the one who is struggling and the one who is poor can look on the rich man who doesn't have the Lord and say, we need to pray for him. My heart goes out to that man. He's broken. But he's got some. No, he doesn't have so much. He's got so much that poof, can be gone. how many rich men have become poor? How many rich women have had it all and then lost it? Guys, our economy is going crazy, up and down and weird. If we put our trust in the things of this world, I promise you, you will be disappointed eventually. But we need to have the heart of David. And that's as bad as things can be at times. I'm putting my trust in God. Saul's appearance of security is an illusion. It's not real. Here he's got it all, and he's going mad. And he's walking around with spears and throwing them when it suits him. Saul, with all his luxuries and power, lived in fear. And guys, here's the thing about fear. It changes you emotionally. And who is Saul afraid of? David. You see, when you don't have the Lord, it's hard to see things for what they really are. And here's Saul, and he's so set on getting David and killing David and fearing that David's trying to steal his kingdom. And David has done nothing but love the king and serve him honorably. Remember when Jonathan had a spear thrown at him by his father? It was because he was defending David, saying, "Dad, what has he done? He's only served you." I want you to listen to a few verses. I don't have these up. I want you to just kind of sit with your eyes closed and listen to these verses. And listen to the verse and think about how David would hear these verses versus how Saul would hear these verses. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And lastly, Acts 23. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. You see, when you're full of bitterness, sin reigns in your life. And it just doesn't just reign in the area of that one person or that one situation that you're bitter towards. Bitterness, it's like water finding cracks. It goes in and it fills all the cracks and it keeps moving. You ever try to stop water? Very difficult. Because it finds a seam, a crack, and it gets in there and it keeps moving. And that's how bitterness is. Keeps moving in and makes us a captive to sin. And that sin can control us and cause so much broken pain. Saul, it's interesting here in verse 6, it says he even feared his own people. See, in verse 7, it said, he said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin." Who has Saul surrounded himself with? His own clan. So the people that he's brought is the me and mine. He went to his own tribe, and the other tribes he doesn't have there. He's got his own tribe surrounding him. "Listen, men of Benjamin." That's Saul's tribe. And he brings around his people. Nepotism flowed from Saul's paranoia, having him and his around him. And prejudice and discrimination usually do follow paranoia. He's getting his off to his side, and now he's discriminating against anybody who's not part of him and his. Have we ever been there, me and mine? Is our country struggling with that right now? We're broken with it. We are hurting each other. We are going at one another because of this me and mine attitude. And guys, man will find anything to separate from others. Mankind will find any way. People will find any way to say, this is my group and you're not a part of it. And what you're saying is going against me and mine. So I'm coming at you. And the lessons I learned as a child, somebody hits you, you hurt them. It becomes what's taught through the culture. Somebody comes at you, you destroy them and theirs. They hurt you, you take them out. That's the lies of the world. That's what people are buying into. And we need to stop. And we as the church need to be a light. We need to bring in truth and love. Look at Saul, his fears have even flowed now to his own people. So it started with him, and even with me and mine, he's gotten so ingrained in his bitterness and anger. Look what it says. Will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Guys, I've bought you off. Will David buy you off? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against me? Now he's starting, his paranoia is getting so much. He's, even though those who are closest to him, now he's fearful of them. You guys are against me too. I know it. Do you see the madness in Saul? Because of the bitterness and anger. No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie and wait for me, as he does today. None of that was true. And guys, this is the thing I've seen in my own life, and I know we've all experienced it. When we're hurt and somebody truly says something that hurts us, that's extremely real. And if I forgive that person, now I'm back. If I don't forgive that person, now it really doesn't matter what they say. I'm offended. How you doing today? What do you mean by that? What do you mean, how am I doing today? I'm fine. What's wrong with today or me? It's good to see you. What, it's not good to see me other times? I mean, right? How about in marriage? Boy, I tell you, when I don't forgive my wife for a period of time, I have this edge to me. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because when you wake up, now one more thing is now this list. And now the cup is completely full. It only takes one more drop and everything's fallen over the edges. It's the same with friends. It's the same at work. Guys, why do we have so many problems at work? You guys, I hear situation after situation. Why? It's because there's so much brokenness. It's hurt people hurt people. And when people are hurting and they're not whole in Christ and they haven't been forgiven or forgiven in Christ's strength, man, get even, get back, get ahead. Saul's fear has nothing to do with the facts. Those who stayed with Saul were his cronies who profited from him. Him and his. But now here he is, and he doesn't even trust them. That's where his mind had gone. But here's something that will happen every single time we are broken in fear and anger and bitterness. Saul finds one friend who's willing to join him and take his madness even further. Guys, when we are broken, it's like a magnet to other people who are broken to give us bad counsel. Have you ever seen when you're struggling and you've got somebody else who's been down that road, gone down it, and further than you know, and they're, come on down to the pit with me. I'm tired of being in the pit alone. And the counsel is this counsel that will lead further and further into the pit. Verse 9, Doeg, the Edomite. Now, we're going to talk next week a lot about Doeg the Edomite. But we just get a glimpse at him today. But Doeg the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, at Nob. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him." Guys, that's a lie. That part is a lie. Ahimelech didn't inquire of the Lord for him. "He also gave him provisions of a sword, of the sword of Goliath, the Philistine." That part is true. Remember, do you remember what happened? David came, and as he came, he saw Ahimelech, and he said, "Listen," and he lied to him. And this is an expensive lie, as we'll see next week. A painful lie that David did. But David said, "Listen, I'm on mission from Saul. I'm with Saul, and I need provisions. I need you to set me up." But he lied about it. Doeg was there. He knows that. But he sees madness. And when there's madness, you can bring somebody down this road, and you start going, and Doeg's going to take this lie even further, and he's going to take Saul further down this path of destruction. The kind of death that we're about to see next week, it's going to be rough to even read about it. Most of what Doeg said was true. But Ahimelech didn't inquire of the Lord for David. And David had lied to make the report. David had lied to Saul, saying that he was on mission. Lied to Ahimelech about being on mission from Saul. And Doeg purposely brings that lie out so that he can bring destruction to as many people as he can. Guys, there are wolves out there. There are Doegs out there. There are people who take pleasure, who have gone so far into evil that their pleasure is evil. We need to pity them. We need to pity them and mourn them. But we need to be aware of them. We need to pray for them. Guys, have you ever seen the person that you thought was the least likely to come to Jesus come to Jesus? Were you that person? I was the troubled child. I was the one that mom worried about the most. God reached in and grabbed me. Changed me from the inside out. Still working on me. Lord knows he has a lot to work on. Many of you, all of us, he's reached in and grabbed. Some he had to reach pretty down deep into the pit, didn't he? But he's willing to reach. He's willing to go as far as he needs to go to the sinner who says, "Forgive me, Lord." Guys, it doesn't matter what you've done with God. It does with people. But with God, God doesn't come to a place and say, "No, he's too far down in the pit." If you're feeling like you don't understand, Pastor, he can't reach me. There's been many times where I've been talking with people and the outside fake smile fades away as I've talked to them about the love of Jesus, and the bitterness comes on their face and they say, "God can't forgive me. I've done too much. I'm too far gone." And many of those people, God says, "No, you haven't." And he reaches in and he reveals himself, and they're searching and they reach out and they're met. Psalms 52, 1 through 4. David wrote this about this time and about this man. Psalms 52, 1 through 4. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God? You who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It's like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. It kind of sums up Doeg, doesn't it? He's looking to destroy. He's found his man, Saul. Here's a man he can just wrap his tentacles around and lead him down the path of death and destruction. This period of persecution in David's life was part of his preparation for the throne, guys. See, God doesn't waste anything. You can look at David and say, why? Because he's preparing him to be a king. And God doesn't prepare the blessing without preparing the humility to receive the blessing. Guys, we are so proud and focused on ourselves. I know I am. And there has to be a humbling. There has to be a brokenness before God. David was already a great soldier. He was a great soldier. And now he was suffering in the wilderness so he would learn not to trust men, but to trust God. Love people, trust God. Trust God. All of us need wilderness testings, don't we? Are you in the wilderness right now? Don't give up hope, guys. God has you there for his purpose. He'll use it all. He'll use it all. Saul's persecution of David is an illustration of the conflict between the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and the flesh. Saul represents the flesh. David represents the Lord, his Holy Spirit, moving and working and blessing. It's also a picture of Satan's persecution of the church today. Guys, we're experiencing some blessings as a church family. You think the enemy's going to just say, oh, they're growing in the Lord, I'll leave them alone. They're learning to love each other. No, he's saying, they're getting some ground. No, I'm not giving up my ground. Some of you are suffering and struggling like you've never had to before. Guys, God is good. And even though you're struggling and suffering, God is good. Trust him. Trust him when it looks like everything's in chaos. Satan seems to be reigning today, doesn't he? Satan, if you look at our world today, if you spend 5 minutes in the news, you can come away so depressed and discouraged and thinking, Satan reigns here. But Christ is king. Just like with David, it looks like here he's out. He's been going from cave to stronghold to now he's in a forest and he's always on the run. It looks like everything's going wrong. But he's the future king. One day he's going to take his rightful throne. Just like Jesus Christ one day will be on his throne in your life, in my life, in part now, in full later. And we can know that because Christ is on the throne, it is finished. Guys, we have victory not in the future, but now in Christ. But we've got to choose to live according to the truth rather than live according to the lie of the enemy. The enemy says, no. And he tries to bring lies. He tries to bring discouragement. The truth is, if you have Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're living in victory. So guys, let's live like we're on the side that's already won. Why would we as believers choose to be bound to sin? It doesn't make sense, does it? I want to encourage all of us. Guys, I need this word as much as you. Guys, we're in this together. We're in this together. And God, he's already given us victory. So rather than being open to the Doegs coming around and leading us away from the family, leading us away from the truth, leading us away from the Father, let's kick the Doegs to the curb. Let's pray for them. But guys, there's times where we need to release people out of our lives. There's times, and I say that carefully because it's not something I take lightly, but there's times where you need to walk away, where I need to walk away from people who are trying to bring us into the junk and just say, that's not me anymore. That's who I was. That's not who I am in Christ Jesus. And you pray hard for that friend. But you are not the Savior. Remember that. Their salvation is not something you need the burden of carrying. It's God who saves, not us. We don't argue people into the kingdom. We don't convince them. We don't make it so they have no... No, you can't do that. You can't say somebody, love me, love God. They're easy, tiger. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you that amidst all the lies, all the noise, all the junk, all the Doegs, all the hurt, all the brokenness, all the pain, you are what is consistent, what is holy, what is good, what is true, what is right, what is a blessing. Father, you are life and love and light. We choose you today, regardless of what's going on in our world, in our own world, in our own situation, we choose you today. Show us how to do that, God. We need you so desperately. Father, forgive us for being so quick to be bent and having our ears bent to the Doegs of this world. Whether it's Doegs that are personal or the media or this or that, Lord, protect us from those lies that say man has the answer. We know that the answer has been found in you already, and it's the only one that matters. So, Father, our identity is in you. And that's enough. We're not children of this world, but in faith in Jesus Christ, we're your kids. And you love your kids. And you've done the work. It is finished. Thank you, Lord. Bless us and make us a blessing to many, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.